Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
724, Adrian Bugatti is the owner of Cashering Your Life. Adrian, very good morning. Thanks for joining. How are you?
Thank you for having me on again. Doing well.
But lots to do, no doubt, ahead of Pesach. So, and of course, something we've been speaking about is the fact that prices are very high this year. People are looking for alternatives. It's not a South African thing. It is everywhere in the world. We need to know that. But what do we do? How do we manage considering everything?
Okay, well, the first thing is that the kosher guide from Pick and Pay has the green list in. And what the green list means is that you can buy stuff before Pesach, things that don't need a Pesach heksher. So if you see it on special, you can buy it. If it's freezable, stick it in the freezer. If it's going to last you long enough, put it in a bag, like sealed bag in your fridge, and just keep it until you're ready for Pesach. And that is the first thing. The second thing is paring back. And that's a huge thing that people just aren't learning, I think. I was out last night at a share and heard somebody saying, like, she's got family, it's 40 people coming for Seder. Now, I thought we learned our lessons over COVID, but apparently not.
Well, and that's the point. Is 40 people, Pesach or not Pesach, is going to cost you a fortune.
A small fortune. Not Pesach is going to be expensive. Pesach is double. And if you keep kosher and the people who are coming to you don't, that's a huge cost because you're now making everything. And the suggestion is then to tell people, look, please, can you buy me the fish so that for the fish dish, whatever dish you're going to make. So if you're doing chopped herring, ask them to buy herring. If you're doing gefilte fish, ask them to order.
That's a good idea because people generally, especially over Pesach, people are very concerned about kashrut and other people's standards. So if people offer and you aren't comfortable with them, I think that's a great idea. We've got to normalize that and say, you know what, maybe you can bring us the whatever it would be, the sparkling water. Who knows?
Don't bring me a hostess gift. Rather, bring me the raw ingredients or buy it from somewhere that's making, which is also a little expensive, but that kind of thing.
How much more expensive is that? I wanted to ask you that because I was looking at a list and I said to, we had this discussion at home with my wife and I said to her, I wonder sometimes instead of going and buying all the ingredients to make your things, there's a lot available that's already pre-made and I'm not sure that it's, I'm sure it's not cheap, but I wonder at the end of the day if it works out to be so much more expensive. I'm not sure if you're not buying all those ingredients to make a dish.
You know, it depends on what ingredients you're buying. I got very excited. I saw a bottle of teriyaki sauce. I thought, oh, yes. And then I saw it was 152 Rand for a tiny bottle. Now, that's expensive when you're only going to use a little.
Exactly.
So it is easier to make the ingredients yourself. And they're available, and you can make it kipniot free if you're not Svarti. So it depends on what you're buying. The imported stuff are absolutely way and above more expensive. You know, so your kid will go for a week without cereal. It's really not the end of the world at what, 200 Rand, a box of cereal or something? There's eggs, there's geschmierte matzah, there's matzah brei. There's stuff you can make. And that's an important thing to remember, that when you're buying your ingredients, look at what you're buying and think about, do I need it? Is it cheaper to make it? Do I have the time to make it? And do I have the Pesach equipment to make it with? You know, I've been buying new equipment every year, literally for 30 years. So I have
Pesach. Built up. You built up. That's maybe another good idea is every year that you do, that you prepare Pesach, buy yourself one item that goes into building up a decently equipped kitchen.
The other thing I do is I've got a little diary book type thing that I keep in the box and it's got a list of ingredients that have been kept from year to year. till when they're going to expire.
That
so
is
like your
genius.
Dry spices.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because in fact we were having the same discussion and I said I think part of the expense of Pesach isn't necessarily the cost of things because there's a lot you can get on the green list, but it's the fact that you're starting everything again every year. But if you have a little book that you keep with your Pesach things with the items that you're putting back, then you know when you open it up what you don't need to buy.
That's it, exactly. And that book doesn't have to be in with your Pesach equipment. It can be on a bookshelf somewhere so that you know beforehand that you can start preparing. I know somebody who literally starts preparing 6 weeks. She starts in January, basically. You know, this year was late with February.
But that's not normal,
but,
hey? You know that that's not
all
normal.
All organized.
Yeah, no, that's not organized. That's obsessive.
You know what? It's a great help. She's got a WhatsApp group, and without that WhatsApp group, I think I'd still be running around the way, like I had listed.
So there's your other bit of advice. Find somebody who knows what they're doing and stick to them.
Yeah, it's been 6 years. So she'll like put up something like, okay, in January, go and get your gas bottles filled if you use a gas stove for Pesach. Like, something as simple as that.
Right.
Rather than thinking now, we're all trying to find gas.
Right. That's very clever.
I mean, my son is running around looking for gas because he's cluttering kitchens.
Right.
And gas is in short supply. It's coming winter. We've got load shedding. It's, you know, the whole thing is like ridiculous.
So, in fact, Mike is asking, please can you ask Adrian, can you kasher a slow cooker?
No.
No, I can't see how you would.
Unfortunately, no, you would have to take it to the kiln, and I don't think the lid can survive the kiln because it's a plastic knob. You would need a new insert. So, that's an important thing, you know. So that's something if you want to do slow cooking, is something to put away during the year. And that's another thing we don't do. We don't budget for this. And we know it's coming.
Yeah, because it does every year.
Why don't we put away a savings account?
Yeah, yeah. And during the year, if you know that you want a slow cooker and in October you see one on special, buy it and put it away and then you've got it, then you're not putting all of the pressure on this time of year.
Exactly. So those are the things, those are little things that, you know, you do. And for newly married couples, look through your gifts. If you've got more than one of something, don't return it. Put it aside for Pesach.
Yeah, it's true. Even if it's ugly, it'll be fine. It'll be absolutely fine. Adrian, that's where, unfortunately, where we have to leave it. In fact, before we go, just final advice for people who are less than a week away from Pesach and getting quite nervous.
Okay, so that's part of our issue is we get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
We plan yontifs all the time. Pesach shouldn't be so stressful. We need to pare back. We need to look at it. Do you have a cake every single day during the week? If not, why are you doing it on Pesach? Do you give your kids sweets every single day during the week? If not, why are you doing it for Pesach? We need to change that. Pesach is, you know, yes, we change over and everything, but we don't change the way we live. I think that's important.
Very, very sound advice, Adrian. Thank you for that. Talking to us about Pesach, Adrian Bugatti, owner of Kashering Your Life.